Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 50, it's the only event in the Bible from Jesus' childhood. Now, we have several passages in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke about his birth, about how the circumstances surrounding his birth and the timing of it fulfilled several passages in the Old Testament. Of course, all four Gospels talk about his ministry, his preaching, his teaching, the encounters that he had with individuals, the encounters that he had with the crowds. But only this one passage from Luke chapter 2 mentions this one event from his childhood. And again, I don't believe there's anything in the Bible by accident. I believe everything in this book is there because it's ordained of God. He wants it there, and he's got it there for a purpose. He's got it there for us to learn something from it. We read that Joseph and Mary went every year to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. The Feast of the Passover celebrated that event in Egypt where the death angel came. It was the last plague before the Israelites got out of Egypt. And the death angel was going to come that night. And Moses, at God's instruction, told the people that if you want the death angel to pass over your house, then take a lamb, the Passover lamb, kill it. And Moses, again, at God's instructions, told them when to set it aside, when to kill it, and then take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost of their house. Doorpost and the top of the door. And when the angel came that night, if he saw the blood on the doorpost, he would pass over that house and not go into it, and the firstborn would be spared. And every year since then, the Jews celebrated it. And Mary and Joseph, again, took part in that celebration in Jerusalem. And again, Jerusalem was the capital city. It was the city of worship, the center of worship. The temple was there. The Holy of Holies was there. The Ark of the Covenant was there. The presence of God was there. And so when Jesus was 12 years old, they went, as was their custom. Probably not the first time Jesus went. Probably wasn't the last time that he went. But it's the one time that he went that we read something about in the Word of God. So they stayed for the Feast of the Passover, and they started home, and Jesus wasn't with them. Now, a boy 12 years old was more of an adult back then than they are now. And they thought that, you know, he was with one of their relatives. He was with an acquaintance that they had, somebody from the city. And so they traveled a whole day back to where they were living, just thinking that he would show up for dinner. And when he didn't show up for dinner, they began to get a little bit worried. And they started looking among their acquaintances. They started looking from the other people that made this journey with them. They started looking among their relatives. And he wasn't there. And so they went back to Jerusalem thinking that he must still be at Jerusalem. I can remember my grandmother. I don't remember the story myself, but I can remember my grandmother telling me a story that when I was 2 years old, my mom was expecting my second brother, and we were still living upstairs. They had a two-floor house, so to speak, and we were still living upstairs in my grandmother's house. And she told me the story that one time my mom and dad and she and I went to church on a Sunday night, and mom and dad went home and forgot us at church. And we had a real adventure. It was only about six blocks away from the house, and so we walked home. Didn't bother me any that as the way she told the story, it was an adventure for us. My dad caught it for a while, leaving his mother-in-law and little baby at the church. But it was an adventure. I can remember one time one of Brother Chuck Seeley's grandsons brought his brother to church on a Sunday night. He'd just gotten his license, and he brought his brother to church and went home without him and got home, and his mother says, "Where's your brother?" And he says, "Oh," and got back in the car and headed back to church. Of course, he didn't have a cell phone. I had taken his little brother and had started home with him. And he got back to church, and there was nobody here, and he was really worried, but went back home, and everything worked out. But that same thing that happened to Jesus. Mary and Joseph had gone home. He was still in the temple. with the doctors and the teachers, hearing them and asking them questions. And the Bible says that all that heard him was amazed or astonished as his understanding and the answers. The questions that he was asking and the answers that he was giving to some of the questions they asked him. And Mary asked that question, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said, "Well, don't you know I got to be about my father's business?" Of course, they didn't quite understand what that meant yet. They would in a few years. But this story, even though you might think it's just an insight that God has given us to the young man, Christ, has some wonderful lessons in it for us tonight. And I just want to share five of them with you as I preach on the subject, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Number one, if the Son of God needed to go to the temple and have the Bible taught and be able to ask questions about it, so do we. So do we. I mentioned this morning, he was the Son of God. While he was here on earth, he calmed storms. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He fed the thousands. While he was here on earth, he exhibited great power. But Jesus, as the Son of God, still felt it necessary to go to God's house, to study God's Word, to ask questions about that Word. Of course, he could answer questions about that Word. And if Jesus needed that, then you and I need it for sure. If the Son of God, who had power while he walked the face of this earth, needed to be in his Father's house and study the Word of God, so do we. We need to study the Bible. You ever stop and think that everything we need is in this book? Everything that we need is in this book. This book tells us about eternity. It tells us about heaven, and it tells us about hell. As I mentioned this morning, there's more in this book about hell than there is about heaven. But it tells us about those two places, the two choices that we have for eternity. It tells us how to get to those two places. If we want to go to heaven, then we, as we talked about this morning, then we have to realize that we're a sinner. We have to realize there's a penalty for that sin. We have to realize that Jesus paid the price for us. And if we'll ask him, he'll save us and give us a home in heaven. Go to hell, you don't have to do nothing. You ever stop and think about that? To go to hell, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to come to church. Of course, that won't keep you out of heaven. But you don't have to read this book. You don't have to do anything. Just live your life any way you want to live it. Ignore the Bible. Ignore God. Ignore the Savior. And you'll end up going to hell. Now, again, as I mentioned this morning, nobody in their right mind, having read this book about what heaven is and what hell is, would choose to go to hell. Only a fool would choose, if that were the only two destinations, and they are, by the way, there's no in-between, there's no second chances, there's no place that you go that somebody can pray you out of. When you leave this earth, you will either be present with the Father, or you will be in the depths of hell. The rich man died and immediately went to hell. The Bible says to be absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. So this book tells us about eternity. This book also tells us how to live here. The Bible says in the book of Joshua, "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And so if we stay in this book, if we meditate in this book day and night, and I had a point in my message I told Brother Leonard as I was going out this morning, I forgot to make it, was an important message. You know, the reason that Eleazar's hand clave to the sword is because he used it so much in that battle. We ought to be in this Bible so much that our hand cleaves to it, that it hangs on to it because we use it so much. Now listen, God tells us in this book everything we need to know how to live this earth down here. We were at lunch today and somebody made a statement. I never had thought about it before, but I've been thinking about it all afternoon. I mentioned this morning, God has a plan for every one of our lives. You know what? So does Satan. Satan has a plan for every one of our lives. First point on his plan is not to get saved. First point on God's plan is to get saved. And Satan has a plan for your life, and if you let him, he will work that plan and mess up your life. First point again is to keep you out of heaven, and even as a Christian, he has a plan for your life because he wants to mess up your testimony and make sure that nobody hears about Jesus from you. Make sure that nobody can look at your life and say, man, whatever they got, that's what I want. What he wants to happen is for people to look at our life and say, well, if that's what being a Christian is, I don't want any part of it. That's his plan. But in this book, God will help us discover what his plan is for our life and how to live it. And there is not a problem, there is not a situation, there is not a heartache that God doesn't give us what we need from this book. We sing that little chorus, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. This is what we need right here. This is it. We don't need all these self-help books. You know, this is what we need right here. So, if the Son of God needed to come to church and study the Word of God, so do we. So that means every time we have an opportunity to come to this place to hear this Word taught and preached, we ought to do it. That means Sunday school. Some of you just need to get into the habit of coming to Sunday school. Say, preacher, I can't get up that early. I bet if you were going fishing, you'd get up that early. I bet if you were going on vacation, you'd get up that early. Come on. If the Son of God needed to go to God's house and study God's Word, how do we think that we can get by on a Sunday morning service or a Sunday morning and a Sunday night service when we have two other opportunities, Sunday school and Wednesday night, to come to God's house and study God's Word? If the Son of God needs it, we sure need it a whole lot more. And yet, we fail to read it, we fail to study it, we ignore opportunities that we have to come and hear it taught and hear it preached. We don't eat like that. I mean, you can look at me and know I don't miss many meals. I don't miss many days in this book either. So, if the Son of God needed to come to the house of God and study the Word of God, so do we. Number two. Many times in our lives, Jesus is missing, and we don't know it for days. Mary and Joseph went a whole day. Well, he's somewhere. He's with our friends. He's with our family. But he wasn't there. Started looking for him. And for 3 days, they did not know where he was. For 3 days. Can you imagine you that have 12-year-olds, or 11, or 10s, or 9s, can you imagine not knowing where they are for 3 days? They were frantic. They were worried. They were upset. They were doing everything they knew to do to find him. And yet, oftentimes in our lives, Jesus is missing, and we're not even concerned about it. Remember the story of Samson? Delilah had tricked him and cut off his hair, and he had told her different stories about where he got his strength from. He said, well, if you tie it up with bowstrings that were never dried, I'll lose all my strength. Or if you tie a beam to it, I'll lose all my strength. Told him 3 different stories, and every time when she did it to him and he went to sleep, she woke him up and said, Samson, the Philistines are about to get you. And the Bible says he went out and still had his strength. He finally told her the truth, said, if you cut my hair, I'll lose all my strength. So she called somebody in, shaved off all his hair, and she told him again as he was sleeping, Samson, the Philistines are here. And the Bible says he arose and wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't know that the power of God was gone. He didn't know that the strength of God was gone. He didn't know that the one who had helped him win every battle and fight every fight and defeat every enemy was gone. And sometimes we ignore the presence of God. We forget about his power. We forget about his promises. We forget about his protection. We forget about his provision. And we don't know he's gone. We sing the song, "I need thee every hour," yet we try to live most of our life like he doesn't exist. I want to remind you tonight, God is not just God on Sunday. He's God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. He's a 24, 365 or 66 day a year, every moment of every day kind of God. And we ought to live our life in such a way that we recognize his presence every moment of every day. And we ought to claim the promises and claim the provision and claim the protection and claim the power and never get to a time in our life where we don't know he's missing. If we discover he's missing, we ought to be frantic like a parent that is missing a child. We ought to do everything we can and look everywhere we can and do everything we can to get him back and feel his presence in our life. So in many of our lives, Jesus is missing. We don't know it for days. Number three, he didn't leave us. We left him. Jesus didn't leave his parents. His parents left him. They started back home. They made the assumption that he was there. Our God promises us in Hebrews 13, verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, "Fear not, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." God doesn't move. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, as Barb sang about in her special this morning, he doesn't change. He never leaves. He never moves. We're the one that move. I told you a story not too long ago about the guy and his wife driving in the car, and he was sitting on one side and she was sitting on the other side. And she looked over and said to him, "Honey, remember when we were first married, how we sat real close together?" And he looked over at her and said, "I haven't moved. I haven't moved." And that's the way God feels sometimes. He hadn't moved. He's always placed. He's always been. We're the ones that's moved away from him. Number four, we won't find him with family and friends. Joseph and Mary, that's who they looked at first. Said he must be with you know, his cousins. He must be with friends from the city. He must be with those that we made the trip with. But he wasn't. Hey, it's a wonderful thing to have a Christian family. It's a wonderful thing to have a mom and dad, a grandpa and grandma that know Jesus as their Savior and tell their children and their grandchildren about their God. It's a wonderful thing to have a family that live their Christianity in front of their children and their grandchildren. It's a wonderful thing to have parents and grandparents that you can go to and you can talk to them about the things of the Lord. But I want to remind you tonight, just because your mom and dad, your grandpa and grandma are Christians, doesn't make you one. Doesn't make you one. You can't get saved on the back of your parents and your grandparents. You have to make that decision for yourself. They can introduce you to the Savior. They can be like my grandma did and shake her bony finger in my face and tell me over and over again that you're going to hell unless you get saved. And by the way, let me just encourage you tonight. As mom and dad, and as grandpa and grandma, you never surrender the right to give advice to your children and your grandchildren. Never. Say, "Well, preacher, I don't try to give my kids or my grandchildren advice because I don't want to offend them." God put you in their life for a purpose. God gave you wisdom for a purpose. God gave you a relationship with him for a purpose. And part of that purpose is so that you can help your children and your grandchildren. And I don't care how old they get. Adam, listen to me, bud. This is how I'm going to act. I don't care how old I get. I am never going to surrender the right to give them counsel. I understand they may not take it. I understand they may differ in their opinion about that counsel. But it's not going to stop me from trying to offer it. Don't let your children or your grandchildren intimidate you into stop giving them counsel from the Word of God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Can't find Jesus on the shoulders of your mom and dad or your grandpa and grandma. Praise God that you have a Christian heritage, but you have to come to Jesus yourself. You have to come yourself. And then number five, we'll find him exactly where we left him. Mary and Joseph came back to the temple right where they were when the last time they saw Christ. And he was right there where they left him. Where'd you leave Jesus? Did you leave him when you quit studying this book? Did you leave him when you quit spending time in this book every day? Did you leave him when you quit meditating on what's in this book? Did you leave him when you quit loving this book so much that you couldn't stay out of it? You want to know where to find him? Right here in this book. Right where you left him. Where'd you leave Jesus? Did you leave him at that place of prayer? In that place where you got by yourself and looked to heaven? Poured your heart out to a God that wants us to talk to him? Did you leave him at that place of the family altar that when the kids got older, you quit having? Did you leave him at your place of prayer? You want to know where to find him? Exactly where you left him. In that prayer closet, in that family altar, in that place where you went every day or twice a day or three times a day and spoke to your Heavenly Father. Where'd you leave him? Did you leave him when you got a little bit bored or at church or a little upset at something that happened at church, and so you dropped out of Sunday school and you dropped out of Sunday night and you dropped out of Wednesday night, and I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, so you can just go home and tell everybody about this. I'm not preaching to you about this. But did you leave him when you quit coming to his house and fellowshipping with his people? Is that where you left him? You want to know where to find him? Exactly where you left him. In the house of God, in the family of God, with Christian folks that love you and want your life to be exactly what God wants that life to be. Where'd you leave him? Did you leave him when you walked away from your fellowship with other Christians, other people that were of like mind, other people that you enjoyed reading this book with or talking about the things in this book? You know, I was heartened this week. I had five different people, some of them in person, and some of them on the phone, call me and say, "Hey, preacher, I was reading in my Bible, and I ran across this in the Bible. What do you think? What do you think?" Pete was talking. Pete was one of them. I'll use him as an example. We were here Friday cleaning the church. He said, "Preacher, what do you think about that lady over there that called Samuel back from the dead and so that Saul could talk to him about the battle?" And he said, "You know," and we talked about on the Mount of Transfiguration where Moses and Elijah appeared to the three disciples and the two witnesses that were going to be in the Revelation. He said, "Yeah, I understand all that, but what about that lady that called him back? What do you think about her?" And I told him, I said, "Well, you know, she's in the Bible. God ordained it." He said, "Yeah, but you think people can still do that today?" I said, "No, those guys are all quacks. These people that think they can reach beyond and talk to people that are dead." And again, I don't mean to offend anybody tonight. I just don't believe it's not in this book. If that could happen, God would put it in this book. And we had a good conversation. It just thrills my heart to have people in this book and call me and say, "Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think?" We were down at the hospital and Robin asked me a question on Wednesday that we spent a little bit of time talking about. Where'd you leave him? Christian fellowship, church, prayer, Bible study? Where'd you leave him? You'll find him exactly where you left him. Mary and Joseph, again, they were parents just like most of us, all of us. I mean, if our little 12-year-old or 11-year-old or 10-year-old were missing for 3 days, we'd be frantic. We wouldn't sleep. Again, I just want you to think about it. If your child was missing for a day, you would not sleep. You'd be searching the places where you went. You'd be calling all your friends and said, "Hey, pray, my son or my daughter is missing." We'd be brokenhearted. We'd be brokenhearted. We'd be frantic. And my point tonight is, we should be the same way when we miss the presence of God in our life. It should break our heart. We should be frantic. We shouldn't sleep. We should call all those that we know that are Christian friends and say, I'm missing the presence of God in my life. I need some help. He didn't leave us. He didn't leave us. And we'll find him exactly where we left him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it reminds us that you love us so much. You want to be a part of our life every moment of every day. And I pray that we would live in the reality of your presence. Every moment of every day, you're God. Every moment of every day, we need you. And I pray, Father, that we never walk away. We never forget you. So speak to our hearts tonight. If there's somebody here that's never met Christ as their Savior, Father, help them to see their sin, the penalty for that sin, and the fact that Jesus paid it. And if they simply come and ask him, he'll save them. For the many Christians that are here, Father, help us to examine our life. Help us to always want Jesus front and center. And if he's not there, help us put him there. Bless this time of invitation. Use it for your kingdom and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.